Radio. Welcome to Sunday. It's the Sunday show, and I didn't stop that in time. Sorry. This is the Sunday show with myself, Gwendolyn Berry, and in Minnesota, Jack Jodell in Ohio. Are you in Ohio this week, Wayne?
Yes, I am. I'm in Columbus, but next week I will be in Maryland.
Okay, so we've got you in the east.
Yes, that's right. I'll be one third of the east in front.
Well, we've got our roving reporter. That's great.
That's right. I'm a traveling reporter. Pretty dynamic.
Welcome to the Sunday show, where we're going to basically discuss the week that has passed and what's gone on in it, and something I'd like to do. Every week, if we can manage to get it in here, is take a look at some of the posts that are made from the Roundtree 7 community over in Journey with Roundtree 7 on Facebook. You get the chance to go on over to Journey with Roundtree 7 and take a look at what's anybody can look in there, and you can see what is being posted by the members of the community. We have a lot of really relevant stuff going on over there. For instance, avoiding the climate catastrophe is super cheap, but only if we act now. I mean, there's stuff from Think Progress. There's stuff from The Guardian. There is stuff from Popular Resistance. There's stuff from Lee Camp. We've got quite a bit of information. And it's information that makes a big difference. I'll tell you something that was really caught my attention today. I thought was kind of cool. William Sawhill posted a piece from Russian publishing about its International Day of the Human Spaceflight and its Cosmonauts Day in Russia, which I think is kind of cool. You know, the Russians were the first ones to get up there. Today is Cosmonauts Day, and it's nice to remember some of the positive things that have happened.
You know, I think today's the anniversary of Yuri Gagarin's first manned spaceflight, and I think that's the reason they're featuring it.
There you go.
1950 or 1961, I think, is when he first went up.
I believe you're right.
That makes sense.
There you go. We have a great deal of information posted in there on environmental issues, too. And I think you guys were talking about that before we went live over at Addicting Info. There's a article this week about energy independence through the U.S. Navy, making oil, big oil, kind of
salivate.
Big oil, you know, non-useful at all.
Oh, good, all for that.
One of the largest things that's going on as we're going on the air, though, right now, is that over in Ukraine. There's been agitation all day long, on and off. Hey, John, see you there. Welcome. There's been agitation between, I guess, Russia has a few folks that have crossed the line into Ukraine, and the tensions arise. The Ukrainian officer's been killed over there, and more than 10,000 have been out in Moscow, anti-Kremlin rally. It's getting pretty hot over there.
Yeah.
Well, they're storming the police barracks and things like that, taking them over, kind of like an occupying, the inverse of what had happened just a few months ago. But I've always said that, you know, all these kind of wars and stuff start way before the first bullet's ever been fired, and they last a whole lot longer after all the fighting has stopped.
Well, I know satellite reports have indicated there's quite a large buildup of, I think, tanks and I'm not sure if it's artillery or what, but something right on the Ukrainian border. And I don't know how believable those reports are, but I don't know what their origin was, but I'd heard that was mentioned. And I've also heard that Putin has threatened to cut off at natural gas shipments to Ukraine. But, it remains to be seen how this is going to be played out. It's still developing, and it's potentially very volatile. And if we screw it up, and we are entirely capable of doing that, we could have a big mess on our hands.
Well, the Associated Press has issued information from Moscow saying more than 10,000 people have turned out Moscow for an anti-Kremlin rally to denounce state television's news coverage, particularly the crisis in neighboring Ukraine. In promoting the Kremlin line, state television has portrayed the new pro-Western government in Ukraine as a fascist junta under the controls of the U.S. government, determined to oppress Russian speakers in eastern Ukraine. You know, I got to tell you guys, that sounds pretty much like what's really happening over there, though.
Well,
I have also
heard and read here that ever since we have placed the sanctions on Russia for taking Crimea, the ruble right now is at the lowest in value that it's ever been. The stock market has dropped down at least 20%. And so, you know, they can afford to cut off the oil to the Crimea, into Ukraine. But, where the real vast majority of that is going is to the Western Europe via pipeline.
It's curious how our major media is trying to portray this as a reignition of the Cold War, when I think, in fact, what's really happening is Putin has just been forced into a corner by our doing, partly, and he's just been forced into a corner, and he's got to scratch his way out any way he can.
Well, I think that's true, Jack. It's like Russia was hopeless when W. Bush went into Iraq. They said, look, he doesn't have it. The U.N. said he doesn't have weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, you know, old cowboy Bush says, well, if you're not for us, you're against us, and we'll go it alone and all that kind of stuff.
So we ended up in the background laughing at
Dick Cheney saying, grab that Halliburton oil. Halliburton wants oil. Halliburton wants oil. And so, you look at the geopolitical aspects. Really, if you want to figure where did the Cold War start to get reignited, it was back with Bush and Cheney.
Sure. And they're by their clever doing, too, and they wanted it that way. And Cheney, to this day, he's still popping off about wanting to get into Iran and into Syria and any place he can start a war, he'll gladly do so, and he's pushing for it, and he'll do anything he can to get us involved in that and get a little more money and profit for Halliburton. Oh, speaking of which, this past week, Rand Paul kind of lambasted Cheney. This is very interesting development among the GOP. Rand Paul is lambasting Cheney for supposedly starting the Iraq War to just line Halliburton's pockets heavier, you know, and therefore his own indirectly.
There you go. I read that too. And it really kind of started with Dick Cheney's daughter who was trying to run for
that loudmouth.
She was trying to run for out of Wyoming or Congress. She basically dropped it because she had absolutely no support out of Wyoming at all.
Right. Yeah. She was trying to stir up trouble. Because she's a troublemaker. She is. Liz Cheney is nothing but a troublemaker, and she's got a big offensive mouth. And I'm glad she got her butt handed to her in Wyoming because she deserved it. Not that I'm a big fan of Mike Enzi, because I'm not, but anybody that beats a Cheney is fine in my book, at least in that regard.
Jeez. You guys make me laugh, man. I mean, she really is bad. She's a bad representation of American womanhood, especially what you call educated.
Yes. But it's so mouthy.
Mouthy is right.
Snide and mouthy. Just like her dad. And her mom.
Right. Hey, Jack, another thing I'd like to point out is, too, is when Dick Cheney got his draft notice to go serve and do his duty for this country during the Vietnamese War, he pretended to enroll in all kinds of classes in the University of Maryland, never attended to one, but he got a deferment because he was going to college. So when he went off running, like screaming like a little girl when he got his draft notice. My apology to all screaming little girls.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're more on the right than he is. Or was.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know.
Just to keep it all very clear, I'd like to remind Krell that, of course, this is the Hillary in 2016 chat room.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Did you see they threw shoes at her?
I saw that. That was funny.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know more on that story. All they gave me was a blurb, was a woman, a Tea Party activist, that thought she was showing her patriotism by throwing a shoe. I mean, what was the story behind all that?
All it was she was giving a lecture at a college, and she was also giving information about how she's considering running for political office again. And it was funny to see the shoe go flying by her. She didn't exactly pull a George Bush, but she
kind of joked about it. She spent a lot of time afterward joking about it publicly, and it was kind of she kept her cool, I would have to say, to pay her some tribute. Just on that regard, you know, I'm not a big Hillary fan, as you know, but. I'm glad she kept her cool and did a lot better than George Bush did. He just ducked out of the way, you know.
Yeah, but Jack, the O'Brien press line tells us here that she was drunk and it was a bet she took. But
okay.
Well, then that's okay. I got it.
Yeah. Well, nothing worse than a drunken Tea Party member. They can't even hit you with a shoe.
Should absolutely not be the first woman elected to the White House. She's a warmongering, profiteering
corporatist.
The rest of them are, and she spent 4 years on that plane ducking down into every country to get that TTP whatever treaty. Mm-hmm. Put online for Obama and all of the corporations that they all work for.
Terrible.
There was a large article going for the last 3 days that Huffington Post had up and a couple of other places had posted it about how badly it has become lobbyists and corporations that basically.
Oh, yeah.
Are making all the legislation in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Big
time. They write entire bills and they hand them to congressmen that'll take them and put them in as a bill. It's disgusting. I just call it the Trans-Pacific Pilfering Act that they're trying to pass. Because that's what it is. It's going to pilfer from the middle class and the poor for the profit of big-time corporations and a tiny few individuals.
Yeah, that's no epiphany, but you're dead on it.
Going back to, can you guys hear me?
You're coming in the time.
Okay, because my board was going goofy for a minute there. What do you call it? And going back to touching on articles over in the Journey with Roundtree 7 room. I would like to, last week I said that folks should join in and or tune in and take a a look at the show that is being produced on HBO, which is called Years of Living Dangerously. This is an expose on what is happening to the planet, to the health of the planet right now, and climate change. And it's being done through experts and also through famous people. And I commend, I'm sorry, it's not HBO, it's Showtime. This climate series is basically, I think it's going to do a good job because I think people will listen to famous people. When Frank Sinatra started singing for Jack Kennedy, he got a lot more votes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
well, that whole Rat Pack in general.
Yeah.
I think I've heard it said Robert Redford's behind one of the episodes or something or several, and that can't hurt when people like that are in the know, and these people are in the know. They're not just out for publicity's sake. No, they really believe in the causes they're endorsing, and they want to present something that's suitable for American public to watch and learn from. And that's a very good endeavor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Like I said, we have a great deal of environmental posting in Journey with Roundtree 7 over there.
Good. There's a need for that.
Oh, there's a lot of good stuff. And I mentioned the cosmonaut post because I thought that was pretty cool. There's also David posted a really bright article that'll cheer everybody up. There's going to be a musical, Anne Rand inspired musical Anthem, her 1938 novella is getting made into a musical, and you can find a posting on that over in Roundtree 7's Journey Room. Hunger Games meets Anne Rand in a world where individuality is illegal. Prometheus abandons everything to confront the state, controlled by the overlord of evil efficiency, Tiberius. With a forbidden copy of Anne Rand's ancient tome in hand, can Prometheus overthrow the system? You gotta laugh. You really gotta laugh.
Well, I have a hard time laughing at Ayn Rand. She's an absolute imbecile.
Is she still alive? I know she wrote several
years dead.
Ago.
She's dead. Yeah, she's dead.
That's what I thought.
But she still is inspiring idiots like Paul Ryan. He made all his entire staff read her books. How pathetic.
Well,
I would have resigned.
Now embracing it as a religion almost, and it's really getting dangerous.
Her ideas
stuff.
Are crazy, and they're all hypocritical. Hell, she spent 30% of her adult life on welfare, on Social Security, and taking government benefits, and she slammed every one of them while she didn't need them. But once they were there, she didn't hesitate to grab them. You know, what a bunch of crap. Just like Paul Ryan himself. He had no problem using daddy's survivor benefits from Social Security to put himself through school. At least he didn't waste them on gambling or drugs or whatever else. But nonetheless, he wants to take away Social Security or severely reduce it now, and he benefited from it. So what kind of crap is this? These guys are nuts.
So that's the kind of stuff that I like about this radio station and this program, is we get that kind of word out to the general public that may not have known that.
Right, exactly.
Here she is ranting
against
it. And,
mainstream media just ignores
it,
kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Many media wouldn't report that. In other words, you need to debunk her, disprove her, to qualify her.
Yeah.
That her idea was crap, because when she needed the social safety net that we need as a society.
Everybody needs it at some point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As we need as a society. Right, she was more than glad to embrace it and use it.
Oh, she was embarrassed about it, but it didn't prevent her from doing so. So I don't care how embarrassed she was. She was wrong to have condemned it in the first place, because it's vital, it's needed, and it is entirely wholesome for the people that benefit from it, and there's a hell of a lot of people that do and that do need it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they're not all bums with their hands out trying to rip off the public. That's the bullshit you hear from all the far-right people that they, oh, yeah, they're all welfare cheats and welfare
mm-hmm.
queens,
welfare
and, all
queens
this nonsense.
And all this stuff, yeah.
Bunch of crap, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in other news, guys, the Telegraph over in England posted mm-hmm. this week how the UN has the climate change experts at the UN. I got to think many of them were working for Chevron, Atlantic Richfield, and a few others.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure.
Fracking can be part of the solution to global warming, say UN climate change experts.
Oh. What next?
All right,
hire for that, Alfred E. Newman.
Be worried. That's right.
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says massive shift to green energy sources is crucial, but that shale gas can help if it replaces dirtier coal. You got to get rid of both. What about this? Don't these people friggin' grasp? The profit margin is what they don't grasp. The UN climate chiefs have backed fracking as part of the solution to global warming, but warned that a massive expansion of green energy will be crucial to prevent devastating extremes of climate change. You know what? They're putting their fingers in the dike. This is putting your finger in the dike, isn't it?
Mm, yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And in the background, always in the background, are the Koch brothers and people like them that they want to stay silent and they want to just exert their influence to make things go their way so they can profit by the billions. And these people are completely despicable. And, you know, the more light we can shine on these people, let's burn their eyes out because they deserve to be burned out because, you know, they don't deserve the stealth that they practice. They need to be spotlighted big time with big bright floodlights because they're up to no good. They're up to good only for them and a little tiny bit for them, and the hell with everybody else. It's bad.
In industry, you know, if you're a manager and you have a group of people, there is one class that they identify as the instigator.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I don't really want to say anything, but did you know that such and such? Basically what it is, their power comes from their anonymity.
Right.
You want to get that person in line, get him stopped in the deteriorating of your workforce, expose
mm-hmm.
the instigator.
Well, they're
shine
manipulators,
the spotlight
and they've got
him.
To be stopped. They can't
exactly.
be allowed to be anonymous because
you
they're
have
very
to shine
guilty
the spotlight
of bad
things. On them.
That's the element that David's always talking about, you know. They stick it in there and they agitate the other side. And
right.
Basically the downfall from within, you know, the Keystone opponents there, this is where the real guerrilla activism is going on. It's against the Keystone pipeline. Like our friend Sharif Voigtland and so many others that are putting their names, their futures at risk by chaining themselves to the machinery and doing all kinds of outrageous activist protests. But this week, the opponents carved an anti-pipeline message into a field out in Nebraska. The opponents of the pipeline, proposed pipeline to carry Canadian oil south to the Gulf Coast, have carved a message of resistance into the Nebraska field in the project's path. It's an 80-acre artwork, which was done last week. It reads Heartland number no XL pipeline is the latest protest environmentalists and landowners have employed against TransCanada's proposed Keystone XL pipeline. You know, we all know that Obama's going to okay this. What's he backpedaling right now for? Is he waiting until some series of elections or something?
Yeah,
you know,
who really knows? But, you know, it's got to be stopped. It's bad. It's
bad,
except for a tiny few who will profit immensely. But in the meanwhile, all our groundwater, all our farmland, a lot of things are going to be ruined, absolutely ruined by leakages and spills and things like that that will definitely occur once the pipeline goes through.
Right. Well, also, too, I want to interject here is, you know, it's not just simply oil. What's up in Canada is high sulfur tarred sand, and they have to heat it up to get it liquefied to get the oil out of that. It is the patriot. It is the lowest of the lowest of the energy
sources,
reclamation.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Good point. Yeah, good point. And it's costly to develop. All these jobs and all this stuff. It's all about a bunch of propaganda and lies. It's going to cost more than it is. It's going to cost more than it should for what we're going to get out of it. It's just not going to be a good deal for the American people or anybody, for any population anywhere. It's going to pollute their water. It's going to pollute the land. It's going to you know, be devastating to the environment and marginally good for the economy at best.
Right. Well, the thing that questions me is why the path of going down through the middle of the United States? You know, you already have pipelines in Alaska. Let's take the devil's advocate aspect of, well, if they don't build that pipeline, it's going to be built somewhere to where that oil gets out into the market. Let's just say corporate pressures are going to say that oil is going to somehow get to the market. Why are we running all the way down through the Midwest to get to Louisiana ports and Texas ports instead
well,
of going west over to Alaska where the pipelines are already going and the oil tankers are loading up there?
Well, the cheapest way is the best, you know. And the other thing is they want to make a big profit and they want to do it as cheaply as possible and they don't want anything to stand in their way. And look at let's talk about these oil prices. They're supposed to drop tremendously. Oh, so if the law of supply and demand really was out there and really was effective, oil would be a lot cheaper than it is right now in the States because, you know, let's face it, we're energy independent now, they say. That's what they claim. They've been pumping tons of stuff out of North Dakota for a long time now, for over a year. And you know what? My gas prices here have not dropped hardly at all. It's a disgusting thing. Oh, market value. Got to keep that market up there. For who?
Well,
only for the oil company people.
Well, the thing is that they've already had many, many major spills. There's a lot of pollution going on and despoiling of water tables. And along the way, Ohio is now linking earthquakes to fracking, and so is Oklahoma. And they want to frack in my state, the state of Florida. I mean, we're on coral rock bed here, and they want to frack for in what? I mean, what are they fracking for? And it's beyond.
They ought to stick those drills on their skulls because they're idiots. They ought to excavate those brains because they're not doing them any good right now.
No, it'd be hollow inside. There's nothing in there.
Yeah, that's true. A waste of a drill bit. Yep.
That's right. There you go.
It's pretty pathetic, though, man. Really, we've gone drill baby drill anywhere and everywhere. Just, we've got to get cheap oil, and we got to be energy independent. At what cost? Nobody asks at what cost. Only a few people do, and then they're marginalized. They're viewed as extremists. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're shouted down.
Common sense people talking common sense.
And the question is ignored.
Exactly. I know it's disgusting. Yeah, it's infuriating, really. You can see how angry I am about it all today. It is. It's infuriating. It insults your intelligence.
Yeah.
Did you all watch Meet the Press today?
No.
No, I had to work today.
Who was on today?
Well, there was a Boston Marathon survivor on, Adrian Haslett Davies. And she left the set in tears. She says in a tweet that she left the Boston television studio in tears before taping the NBC Meet the Press. Apparently, she was due to take place in a roundtable discussion about it, and she asks that the suspect's names not be mentioned. And the nature of the discussion could not make the guarantee, and regrets this is what happened. So she left the she wouldn't participate in it. It's exploitation television, you know, the news. Yeah, it's just exploitation television, and they really don't discuss much over there. I still like The Up with Steve Karnacki now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think he does a decent job. I don't care if
he does. He gets to the bottom of stuff, and he doesn't exploit it, and he doesn't make sensationalism out of it.
No, and Chris Hayes is still, I occasionally go and watch him on MSNBC during the evening. He is very, he holds his own for the most part.
He does, you're right.
He has not sold out the way the gal after him has.
Rachel Maddow has, that's true.
Oh, yeah, she and Big Ed Schultz, I mean, I can't believe them.
Oh, yeah. I know.
The two of them ought to get in a hotel room and just sit and, you know, congratulate each other for a week, you know? It's about profit. It's about profit. And I wouldn't have thought that Doc Maddow would have gone that direction. You know, you know who should be sitting in a chair in front of a camera doing news besides Amy Goodman? Someone like Janine Garofalo. She's really smart.
She's good.
She does
and
a lot
Keith
of...
Olbermann. We need a return of Keith Olbermann.
Keith is already on every night. He's on ESPN. I go over and watch baseball friggin' scores.
Yeah, but he doesn't get very political hardly at all anymore, and that's a big shame because he was top-notch in his day.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. He really excellent. I miss him very much. He's a great commentator. He has a lot to say that's worth hearing. It's like putting.
Yeah, he's even great with sports, but I prefer him in politics.
Oh, he is great at sports. I mean, I've gotten interested in what's going on in baseball because of him again. But there is nobody really who's speaking very well. Although I will say this, Glenn Greenwald is back in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. He came back to the States. That's great. And he's doing it because he's sick of the way that he's been maligned by the press here and the whole Edward Snowden thing and everything else has been completely derailed. The truth of it has been subject to a lot of bullshit, let's put it that way. And he wants to clear the air.
But Snowden has been exonerated in the public. You know?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's...
But the media is still trying to portray him as a kook and an agent of Putin and all that stuff, you know?
It depends on where you're looking for your... Now they're split, I think, basically.
Yeah. Well, the better they can portray him, the better, because that's the truth. That's the honest truth, that he did this country a great service. And all this talk about turning him over to our control here and punishing him, and that's insane.
Yeah, well,
but they want to do it. You know, Obama's administration wants to do it.
Well, the Obama administration is bombing children over in the Middle East too.
So, big time.
And nobody is talking about what's going on with drones. That's something you see a lot of posting. Over in the journey in the Roundtree room on Facebook, mm-hmm. You can find a lot of information on what's going on with drones. Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to give a tip of the hat to Worldwide Hippies, because if you run over to Joe's site at Worldwide Hippies, you'll find a lot of good information over there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Interesting.
There's a lot of good info out there. You've just got to look for it. It won't come to you. It won't be automatically on your TV screen, because very little of what you see on your TV screen is really worthwhile nowadays. you know, you got to look for, you got to go to Free Speech TV or Link TV or, you know, good good programming over there, and that's few and few of those programs are in far between compared to the glut you see on the national media, on MSNBC even and Fox and the rest of those knuckleheads, CBS, ABC, NBC. They're not you know, it's tainted information.
And I have a good friend. He's really an American, but he's now in the border region of France. Mm-hmm. And his blog site is called The Brain Police Blog. It's a song by Frank Zappa, named after Frank Zappa.
Right.
Fantastic guy. Patrick Howell's his real name. Mm-hmm. And I like to read his blog because he gives another perspective. In other words, when I was doing all my traveling, you found out that everybody didn't think the way Americans think that you were hearing on the news and stuff. When I was in Italy, you know, it's like, well, no, this here's another, you know, here's another look at it, right? We see it this way. And because of, you know, X, Y, Z reasons. And then you're saying, okay, I didn't see that now, right?
Right, exactly.
At least the BBC, right? You know, just turn off. You can watch Fox News if you want, right? But also turn on the BBC News and then get a balanced out of that, of what you're hearing. You know,
yeah, and Canadian, what was it, Canadian News Network or whatever they called it up there used to be very good until Al Gore bought it out and started Current TV and then ended up selling that right away. You know, that was very good, and I was sad to see that channel go because it presented factual news and it just gave you the facts and let you draw the conclusions. It didn't slant the facts. It didn't present one side of the facts. It gave you the whole picture, and it was very good. It was very, very similar to what you see on BBC, and I'm so sad that's gone. But you know, there are alternatives out there. Well, look at the internet. Alternet is very good. It's a very good source for news, and it covers stuff you don't see anywhere else. It covers a lot of Glenn Greenwald stuff and Edward Snowden and all that stuff. It's very, very good. And you know what? It's free. You can sign up for daily headlines, and I get them every day, and it's a great, great source for news.
Right. You know, and even Bill O'Reilly admits that when Fox News and the other news stations turn their news programming from Huntley Brinkley and Walter Cronkite to profit aspects news, then that's when you lost your objectivity. They reported the news the way the sponsor wants the news to be heard.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the trademark of Fox.
Yeah,
they give talking
points
to all their TV guys, and they dutifully, Sean Hannity, all those knuckleheads, they dutifully carry out the wishes.
Well, guys, don't forget about The Intercept, firstlook.org, which is the site that has Glenn Greenwald, and we'll have Matt Taibbi in the future. Also, keep your eye on Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone has some very acute political writing. Gonzo Winter.
They really do.
There's wonderful information to be found there. And, of course, every day if you're online, you can hook into Amy Goodman's Democracy Now.
Good programming, very, very good.
Yeah.
And the Tom Hartman program is very good, too. Tom Hartman has his own website. David Pakman has his own website. These are very good voices.
Who is David?
David Pakman. He's a young guy. He's 29 years old, and he's definitely progressive, and he presents a very intelligent, broad-based program on Free Speech TV, and I think he has his own website as well.
Okay.
Very good.
The David Pakman Show. It's a radio show.
Radio show and TV on Free Speech TV.
Okay.
You know what else? With Colbert eventually taking over.
Oh yeah.
David Letterman. Again, I know that you know David Letterman has always been more of the progressive views and things like that. His jokes and humor are geared to such. Now, of course, Colbert will not be playing that. I'm a Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Fox News conservative with, you know, and spouting basically the same stuff, but he points out the absurdity of, you know, what they're saying.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to his debut.
I think, you know, I think you're going to hear a little bit of a biting edge more, hopefully with the with him.
I think you will. Yep.
I take it you guys are fans of the one who is Colbert. I'm sorry, I lost his name for a second. You guys are Colbert fans.
Stephen Colbert, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's going to change it to Colbert is what I think he's going to do. I think that was just fluff, you know, Colbert, you know. I think that was just a joke, but I think it's really Colbert.
Oh, well, could be. It's an Irish name. I mean, he's Irish, so.
Yeah, right. And he tried to make it seem like it was French.
Well, there you go.
You know, I started watching David Letterman a couple of years ago. For the longest time, I thought he was a complete asshole. But I started watching him a couple of years ago, and just when I've never liked Jay Leno. He was
same here.
Jay Leno's had his nose in the air, and he's been overly conceited for no reason. He has very little talent. He had good writers for him on occasion, but Johnny Carson blew him away.
Nobody's been Carson. Are you kidding?
I know. Right.
I think that Mr. Kimmel might do a decent job of it, but it seems like it makes me feel old.
Fallon too. I mean, Fallon is like a young, you know, did you just get your driver's permit? You know, kind of young.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we've got to be open-minded about that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'm now in that other demographic, okay? The baby boomers are now. But speaking of Jay Leno, yeah, he might have had good writers, but in my opinion, he never really could deliver a joke.
No.
Yeah, that timing, wasn't there.
No, he's bogus. I've never cared for that guy. And he's very conceited, and he's very much an elitist. And he's a big time fan of old autos, vintage autos and stuff, and he goes to all these shows. And if people are there that he doesn't like being there because they're too poor-looking or too regular-looking, he wants them removed from the premises. That guy's a big pig.
Really?
Wow, I didn't know that, but that's interesting.
I actually had heard that he was an okay guy as far as cars went. That's an eye-opener. That's an eye-opener. I'm a big car fan.
Same here.
All old automobiles, you know. My dad drove a 1936 Stutz Bearcat in the first Grand Prix through Watkins Glen, New York.
Wow.
Hey, you go, girl. I love the Stutz Bearcat. Absolutely. I'm an old motorhead, too. I used to help to work on race cars and things like that, and this one guy, I worked on it a little bit. I mean, I wasn't really part of the major crew. I was still young in my teens, but it was a guy who owned a stock car. It was Smithville Farms. Speedy Reed was the owner's name. Uh-huh. We had our biggest claim to fame was in 76, we had the pole position at the Daytona 500, and I think ended up coming in third.
Wow.
Any other time, it was in the wall, okay? Ramos Scott was the driver that year.
Mm-hmm.
I followed Formula One racing for a couple of years from here to Europe and back. Jackie Stewart, you know. I got my picture taken with Mario Andretti, guys.
All right.
Kodak in the summer, so I had a sort of a pit pass through Kodak, Eastman Kodak, and it was a big cheat, but I put the camera over my shoulder and would go back there. My God, I stood in front of the lineup at Watkins one year to take the pictures front end while they were all, you know, just starting up and shutting, and that is like having your heart in your throat. It just jumps in your throat when those guys, those guys start those engines and begin whining. I was up at the Glen when my motor drive taking the pictures of him going under the rail with that car, the decapitation. What was his name? That was incredible. I put my camera down for a while. That was incredible.
Right.
Everybody was shocked. But Formula One racing, man, we really did get off politics.
You never know which way this show is going to go.
we are an eclectic group with a lot of experience in many different areas. So, you know, just hold on. We're going for a ride.
People at the chat are like, what the fuck? Okay. Jeez. We did.
Gwen, tell us a little bit more about some of the great articles you saw over at Journey with Round 27.
I was going to mention that something posted over in the Journey room was about Bain Capital seeing the opportunity in putting up methadone clinics because of the overabundant heroin addiction that is going on.
Any old way to make a buck, you know?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Is that being a pariah or what?
That's
a good term, pariah.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be buying up property in certain cities and putting methadone clinics into them in the poorest neighborhoods.
Pathetic.
Yeah, you know,
and you know what?
It's
by
just
buying those poor neighborhood properties, they're probably given such a tax break and tax credit deferment for, say, minimum
disgusting.
Of 10 years. So, in other words, they're doing it, making a profit, tapping into Medicaid and, for the people to come get on hook from the heroin that's coming in from Afghanistan. And they're probably not going to be paying a damn dime in taxes on it, too.
Well,
it frosts you. You know, I just can't stand the idea.
You know, in Boston, it is such, and also Worcester and some of these surrounding towns, it has become such a problem, the heroin addiction, that Governor Patrick up there has declared it a public health emergency. Now, that's big.
Too bad.
That's, and you're not hearing that on the MSM, but for capital, it's a potential profit opportunity, you know?
Sure.
I mean,
and they'll scoop all the profit out they can out of it without thinking anything about the victims or anything, and then they'll move on to the next little project. That's what they do. They're a bunch of greedy capitalists. That's all they are.
Yeah.
Listen to this. So a Boston-based private equity firm recently took over Habit Opoco Inc. It's the largest chain of substance treatment facilities in Massachusetts, with 13 locations from Boston to Springfield. Bain paid $58 million to acquire the for-profit centers through City Health Corporation, a California company it has owned since 2006. CRC Health is the biggest provider of substance abuse treatment and behavior health services in the country. What does that tell you?
Have no conscience. They have no soul. They're right. Yep.
But the spin, the community spin on that is that they're taking care of the community by putting, you know, opening these facilities onto the street.
Oh, they're making money off people is all they're doing.
Yes, they are making, their largest bread is coming from the state. And then getting it from the individual, you know, the junkies from whatever their insurance is. And listen, junkies wear ties and suits too, both female and male. I mean, it's not just people in the street. I've seen people walk into methadone clinics down here that look like Wall Street, you know, brokers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm known X-ray technician and an emergency room nurse. We started off with pills, OxyContin, and eventually ended up with shooting needled heroin. in their race. Mm-hmm.
If you're in the medical industry, and if you're in the healthcare industry, and you have a substance abuse problem, you're supposed to be put on suspension until it's taken care of.
Right.
Well, these two were busted, and basically both of them lost their license.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there are others out there that we don't know of yet that are pilfering and doing whatever they can to, and people, you read stories every now and then about people being denied the proper dosage so that a little bit can be pilfered off for private use by some of these addicts. You know, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sell their own methadone so that they might make more money and go buy heroin and... You know, because methadone is a huge high, it's every bit as addictive as heroin.
Yeah,
I don't get it myself. I don't get it. I don't understand. Other than this, in Europe, junkies and people who are addicted in Europe do not have the same kind of criminal nature or stigmatism that they do in this country. Even in Canada, it's not the same because addicts are given the legal ability to go out and buy and use. And when they choose to quit, they genuinely do it. You know, they genuinely make the choice to quit and go and get help for it. And there's no stigma to it and there's no problem for it because, of course, all of the different countries have such better ways of taking care of their citizens health-wise than we do. But the big thing is that they've decriminalized drugs. And when you decriminalize drugs, you know, there's no reason for the violence and the crime.
Right.
You know, there's always going to be a crazy somebody who wants you to give you their stash, if you will. You understand?
Well,
what
again,
I mean?
And it comes down to the profit motive too.
The
government control and regulation on these controlled substances, and that's key that they are controlled substances under the regulation and the supervision and the oversight of a body of government, you know, throughout these other countries. That's what's keeping it working well for the addicts. And for their society in general, here everything's got to be a profit. Everything's got to be for profit, and it just ruins everything for everybody. And profit is fine, but when rampant profit gets into the picture, it screws everything up. We've seen it time after time after time. Anywhere you look, you'll see it, and it's bad.
Right.
It's true. I'm for decriminalization of drugs. I really am.
Yeah, I am too.
I don't see anything ever have made any difference. From prohibition.
Let's look at it this way. We know that in the 20s, prohibition didn't work.
Right.
They got it under control when they re-legalized it in the 30s under Franklin FDR.
Right.
We have been fighting the war on drugs since Nixon, Johnson, somewhere back in that time.
Yeah.
And are we winning? Are we losing?
No.
Has it gotten any better or has it gotten worse?
No.
It's gotten worse.
It's
made Mexico a war ground. It's
absolutely. It has destabilized Mexico. You are right.
Yep.
It's threatens to do that to Arizona and Texas too in certain areas on the border. I mean, it already has.
Well, there's a profit motive, and gangs rear up around stuff, and they want control, and they want all the money for themselves, and it's just greed. It's human greed gone wild and applied to drugs. That's all it is.
Exactly.
So you need to have a body that will regulate and control this stuff and make sure that those forces are not active and do not have any say or any activity regarding procurement or growing or anything else. You've got to control it and keep it out of their hands. And when you do that, you're going to have a lot better results.
And in 2 months, look at the profits they've the state of Colorado has.
Colorado's done great on that stuff. Yeah,
their tax coffers are so full.
Yeah, and that's great.
That now they can repair bridges, they can repair roads. They've had the wildfires and other natural disasters. They have the cash flow now to actually do things right.
And there isn't a rampant marijuana great usage, increase in usage among children or any of that other stuff you hear about.
All the boogeymen are gone, coming to fruition. Right.
Exactly. Good way to put it.
Gentlemen, we're at the top of the hour. Our time has come to its temporary close again for Sunday.
Ooh, that's too bad. Well, we won't be on next week because it's Easter, right?
That's right. We will let people go out and enjoy Easter Sunday. We won't chain them to the internet here.
Right. That's, okay. Everyone, but the week after, look out, everybody. The week after, we're going to explode with good stuff again.
Nation, yes, and resurrection.
There you go.
There you go. I like that.
Well put. Go on out, Osiris.
Well, everybody, make sure you keep thinking and pushing forward. We have enough of this backward-looking stuff. We don't need any more of it. We need to eradicate it as any way we can. So keep pushing forward. That's my advice to you. And we'll look forward to talking with you again and hearing from you in 2 more weeks.
Well, and I always like to say, if you keep looking backwards, you can't see where you're going.
Very true.
There you go.
Good point. Very good point,
Glenn,
Wayne.
This has been a pleasure. Good show.
Yes.
As always, I would like to thank our sponsors, and that is Roundtree7, the number 7.com blog, and you can find them over
great
on
writing.
Facebook and social networks under Journey with Roundtree7. And I'll end my tagline would be Roundtree7's, and what we're doing here is bringing knowledge to the social consciousness. So thank you for listening in. And thank you, Wayne, and thank you, Jack. Have a beautiful
Easter.
You're
very welcome, and great to be with you.
Absolutely. I can't say it any better. It's a good show.
We'll talk again in 2 weeks, and looking forward to it.
This is a good project, and we're doing good work here. So take care.
Right.
Goodbye.
Yep, good night.
Good night, gentlemen.
Yep, good night, Gwen. Thank you.
You're welcome. And this has been The Sunday Show with Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and Gwen Berry. We will see you in 2 weeks. And that's it, folks. Good night.